Life is a growth journey. Life is a growth journey. Now, you can choose to grow, or you can choose not to grow. But God wants us to grow. God wants to come into our heart, give us the strength and the encouragement for every situation that's going to go on in your life, and to give you the courage that you're going to need to stand strong in that situation. God said, I want you to grow. I will bless your life. But I want you to grow in your life. I want you to grow in your living. I want you to find peace that surpasses all understanding. And that requires growing in the world that God has given us. Growing for the glory of God. Growing for the strength of God. Growing for the direction of God. Growing for the love of God. He said, I want you to grow. Listen to 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Continue to grow in the grace and knowledge. Now listen to me. Continue to grow in the grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor. Continue to grow in the unmerited favor that I have given you. I'm saved by grace. I walk by grace. I breathe by grace. I think by grace. I speak by grace. And God's word says, continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue to grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think of it this way. This is the Holy Bible, God's word, that I'm holding up. Now, I want you to picture this. You can't see Jesus. Now, some of you say that you have seen him. And fine if you have seen him. But you can't see Jesus all the time. So I want you to look at your Bible, and I want you to know that this Bible represents the body of Christ along with you, the church. So if I want to have a talk with Jesus, now a lot of times that we think about having a little talk with Jesus means that we're going to just go tell him all about our troubles. You know, that'd be a good song, Brother Randy. Yeah, we'd tell him all about our troubles. There's a two-way street there, folks. When I go have a talk with Jesus, Jesus wants me to listen to the answer to the questions that I have asked him. So if I'm going to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, why would I not use his words, what he has taught, for us, for the church to follow? So therefore, continue to grow in the grace. I accept grace. I love grace. Grace is good. Grace is forgiving. Grace is unmerited, meaning I did not deserve it, but I got it. So grow in that grace, unmerited favor. But in knowledge, the way you grow in the knowledge is you pray and you read God's word. This is what Jesus says. Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. Therefore, I'll get into that real deep in a moment. And Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, realizing that he is my Savior. He's the one who loves me and expressed his love for me by going to a cross on Calvary for me, for you. And he opens his arms for each of us. So how do I grow in Jesus? Let's look at it. I wanted to go down and give you some points of how that you can grow in Jesus himself, growing in that love. You see, to grow in love, his love for you, is to automatically grow in wisdom, to grow in strength, to grow in courage. For you're dependent upon his love in everything that goes on in your life. And when you do that, that's like saying more power to you. Jesus said, I want to give you more power. So why don't we fix a daily time with God? Now, that's the way I began in my growth. And then I found out that when I fixed that daily time, whenever time would be, when I was in the prison systems or in revivals or any of this, it was a time that it was just random, whatever time. And then I realized something. I can fix this time as a 24/7 every time I'm awake. When 24/7, I can talk to God. But I had taught myself to pick a time to begin. And when I began listening to the voice of God, then I wanted to hear more. I wanted more. When I got to receiving the blessings from God, I wanted more. I wanted more. When I got to receiving the word of God, I wanted more words. So therefore, the Lord let me know, Larry, I am available all the time. There's no time when God is unavailable to us. He said, I will give you my time. I'll give it to you with love. Never get a busy signal when I talk to God. Always ready and willing. So I'll fix my daily time with God. Listen to Colossians 4:2. Continue praying, keeping alert. Well, that means also pay attention to what you're talking to the God about. Some people get to praying and go to sleep. Pay attention. Be alert in your prayer. And always thanking God. Thank God. Now you all heard me and some of you thought I was losing my mind. And that may be going on also. But when I thanked God for my cancers. 5. I mean, why would I not be thanking God? Every one had brought me closer in a walk with him and a knowledge of understanding God loves me. And God's not going to pay any attention to me when I'm going to say, well, Lord, just take me on. I can't, you know, the pain of whatever. Just take me on, Lord. No. God's not going to pay any attention to that with me because it is his love that keeps us going and our thanking him for that love that gives us the courage to take that next step, that will give us the strength to be able to even move. God gives us that strength on a daily, second-by-second basis. Thank him for it. Whatever's going on in your life, thank God for it, because I guarantee you, if it's something bad, God's on his way to get you out of it. Thank him that it humbles you enough to cry out to him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord. I had caught myself saying, Lord, so many times. During the day, that's how much trouble your pastor stayed in. I mean, it was, Lord, get me out of this mess. Lord, that group are truly dangerous. Are you sure I need to be going in there to share Christ with them? Lord, you see, God knows that I'm human. He knows our human condition. And he wants us to admit that we are human and there's a lot of things we can't do. But through Christ, all things are possible. He says, so therefore, thank me. Because victory is assured. My power is already there. So give thanks to God. You want to grow in Jesus? Thank God the Father for sending him. The Holy Spirit within your heart. For any situation, you thank God. But this situation is bad. I got news for you. It can get a lot worse. That situation would be unbearable without God there with you. And through his son Jesus, I will never be forsaken. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to have the human conditions of sickness and pain and agony and all of this stuff. But you thank God right in the middle of it. Because I promise you, as I keep telling you, it could be a whole lot worse. It could be so bad that you would say, I can stand no more, but can never get so bad to where your Savior is not always there with you. I don't know why it gets that way. I don't know why life is that way. I don't know why your particular situation is like it is. I don't know that. But I know the one who does. And I can tell you upon the authority of his word, study it. You'll gain knowledge of who God is when you study it. And the direction that you need to go for your situation in your life. Folks, it gets rough out here in this world. Have you noticed? But God says, I will lead you through, grow in me. So you thank God for whatever the situation is. Next, fill your mind with Scripture. Fill your mind with the Word of God. You can't do that if you don't read this. You can't fill your mind with the Scripture if you never look at the Scripture. And if you haven't been reading the Bible a lot or it's been a long time, go to the Gospel of John. And when you're telling someone about reading the Scripture, always tell them, begin with the Gospel of John. For goodness sakes, do not start them with the Old Testament and Deuteronomy or any of the Lamentation or any of that. No, please, start with the Gospel of John. I get discouraged now when I read some of the Old Testament. Read. That's for studying. That's for background. But it's all the Word of God that drives us to what we know as the New Testament. Always read the Gospel of John. You want to be revived again? Read the Gospel of John. John the Beloved. Oh, John was special. When John's writing, I love this part of John because he knows he's loved. He said, when he writes, he said, I, John, the disciple Jesus loved. I mean, he let you know Jesus loved me. It was personal to John, and he writes that way, the words of Christ. So read it. John 8, verse 31 through 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. He had a few things to say to those who didn't, and he could see their heart. But listen. If you, these are to the believing Jews, if you abide, to abide is to take up abode or to live in. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Get in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. My word is truth. He says, I want you to grow, but I want you to grow in the truth. I want you to grow in knowledge. I want you to grow in every aspect of your life. And no matter what situation surrounds you, I will use it as a growing example for you. For there are many who are worse than you ever dreamed of being. No matter what your situation, there are many who are worse. So learn that from the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart, your mind, your spirit, your whole being. And as that Word absorbs down into your being, then you feel the touch of the Master's hand. And that's what He's wanting for us. It's a choice He gives us. I'm saved. I accepted Jesus, I told you, around 8 years old. I'm saved, folks. But because I'm saved, I want to know more. I want to learn more. I want to hear more. I want to see more. I want to do more. I want to acknowledge more. I want to get in the middle of hell itself, in the lives of other people, and to be able to quote a scripture that drives hell crazy. Yeah. That was my calling. That is my calling. To deal with the hurting, the broken, the ones that society wants nothing to do with. You know who that is today? The church. We are the most detested and hated group in the whole world, the Christian faith, the Church of Jesus Christ. Hated. Why? Because of what you believe and who you say is your Lord. Well, you're talking about Jesus as being the Son of God. Yep, that's what we're talking about all the time. Yep, we do. But you say also that there's no other name under heaven by which a one can be saved other than the name Jesus. Well, we quote that. Jesus said it. So, yes. We believe it. Well, now see, that's why that so many people hate Christianity. Gandhi said, give me your Christ, but you keep your Christians. The reason they hate Christianity is that people have a hard time believing that God is a God of love, a God that wants to save you. That He's going to save you through grace, a gift, unmerited favor. No, you got to work. Why? So you can brag on yourself about what a good Christian you are? You got to work to earn this. Jesus says you can't earn it by working. Only through grace. Only by my love. And only by believing in me. It broke my heart to see a Facebook post the other day from a dear couple that used to come to this church. It's on their Facebook page. And it just really went all over me, knowing them and as much love as I have for them, to see a plaque saying that if your preacher, teacher, says that all you have to do is believe in Jesus and you will be saved, then that teacher, preacher, is a false preacher, false teacher. And I mean, my heart just sunk when I saw that. It just really, really bothered me, because I love them. I said it many times. Oh, I've always said it in this church, because it's the gospel. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus said it. Come on, folks. Don't let these groups and all pull you into thinking that it has to do with your works. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus, His Word. Grow and be strong. And yes, it is through Christ, not through your own power, lest any man should boast. So therefore, fill your mind with that scripture. Abide in the Word of God. Use the Word of God. You know, during the time that I was in the prison systems in the state of Kentucky, I would use scripture, but I had learned that you use scripture in words that don't sound like you're quoting scripture. You have the scripture in your heart, but you speak, be all things to all people, that I might win some. You speak in a language where they would understand it and don't realize you just gave them the Word of God. You see, the Word of God's a powerful, powerful sword. That word will cut right to the heart of the most hard-hearted criminal that's ever existed. I've witnessed it many times, as Christ will touch the heart, and the heart will be remolded by the Holy Spirit and become soft to life. That's why we need to grow. That's why we need to make the choice to choose to grow. Fill our mind with the scripture. Now, Christian, you're going to mess up. Let me just give you a heads up. You are going to mess up. Some of you are a mess. But you're going to really mess up in your life. Now listen to the scripture. Forsake your failures quickly. Lamentations 3:40. Let us examine our ways. How? Base it on what the scripture says. Am I doing what God has called me to do? Examine our ways, test them, that's the test. If it goes against God's word, you're in the wrong way. Test them and return to the Lord. You got it? Okay, if what I've said was wrong, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I hurt you. You got me? Turn real quick. I'm sorry. Have you ever said something, as soon as the last word left your tongue, oh, that's a wicked thing, that tongue. As soon as it left, you wanted to get it back. But no, you said it, brother and sister. And that word is out there floating around. It's worse than any computer could ever be. Any text you've ever sent is still floating around out there somewhere. That's frightening, isn't it? But as soon as that word leaves your mind, you want to get it back, and it's too late. Well, what we're taught to do in growth, acknowledge it quickly, forsake your failure, turn around real quick and say, honey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that, forgive me. I'm sorry, I'm a jerk. That always helps. Even though if it's your wife, she already knows you're the jerk in it. But that way, you're admitting it, that you were wrong. You see that with anyone. You know, I've told my son, I raised him that way, and I always tell my grandson and anybody else that I can, folks, take the hit for other people. Take the hit. If there's anybody going to be embarrassed, let it be you. Take the hit on other people. When you know there's a bad situation coming up, you step up and you take the hit for them. You say, I wished I had said that different, or I wished I could have done something different. But whatever, when a kid messes up, take the hit for that kid. Figure out a way where they're not embarrassed. That embarrassment on a young child can last a lifetime, trust me. That embarrassment to when it didn't need to happen, when you had a way to get that kid out of that embarrassment, they will always remember that. You take the hit for them. Number four, flee temptation, but don't you dare fear it. Flee temptation, but don't fear it. Don't let temptation rule you. But temptation is there. It's going to be. Each life, each individual has their own particular temptations. They may be similar to others, but never identical to others. So whatever that temptation is, you run from it. There's a time to run, the Lord says. You turn, you flee. There are certain situations that you know that you're going to get around. I remember this guy was an alcoholic, and he had accepted Christ out of the jail system. And, I mean, he was doing really, really good. He ended up going on to prison where I was also the chaplain. And he was in chapel all the time and comes back to Hardin County and getting ready to get released back in the community. And he said, Chaplain Vance, you know what? The Lord has been so good to me and blessed me. You know what I want to do? I want to start going into the local bars and tavern and witnessing for Jesus. I said, if I see you headed into a bar or a tavern, I'm going to break your leg. That's not what your intention is or Satan's intent is for you. I know what you're saying, but it's obvious the temptation of getting back out into the world of your freedom, you're going to get right back to doing the same thing. Therefore, give the warning. Make sure that the temptation is there. Flee from it, but don't fear it, meaning that's fine. I know many individuals that have fought the alcoholism or the other addictions in life, and yet they today can sit down at a table with other people drinking, and they do not participate. They don't participate in it, but they don't fear it because through Christ it has been conquered. But they don't put themselves in the temptation of where they can fall. You know, one of the great ways of doing that also, have a friend. Folks, you got to have a friend. You got to have fellowship. And that friend knows your weakness, and that friend, a lot of times they're your wife or your husband, that friend will help you and guide you away. And that friend will also use a broomstick if need be to make sure that temptation stays away. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be alert. Continue strong in the faith. Have courage and be strong. Have courage and be strong. Turn. It's the way you do it. Turn and run. You got me? If it that temptation doesn't turn and run, get away from it. And thank God on that run. And thank God that He gave you grace to have enough sense to turn and to flee, to run. Now here's a big one. And listen to me well. All of those of you who are listening to our broadcast and all, listen to this. Connect with an ongoing support group. We call it church. Connect with an ongoing support group. Church. Fellow believers. Fellow sinners saved by grace. Connect with a support group. You're not going to say anything in this church that's going to surprise anyone in this church. Guaranteed. So connect to that support group, the church. Hebrews 10, 25. We should not stop. Listen to me, those of you who are watching and listening. We should not stop gathering together with other believers. Oh, I can get just as much of Jesus at home as I can being at church. When you got enough of Jesus in you, you want to be around other Jesus people. Are you catching it? You want to be around. Oh, that one of the things that this pandemic has done is breaks my heart. It's torn apart the fellowship time. I mean, that fellowship is so, so important to a family, the family of God especially. As with other believers, as some of you are doing. That going on in the first century church, ain't that amazing? Instead, we must continue to encourage each other. The greatest encouragement we can have with one another is to be with each other. Continue to encourage one another. How do you encourage? With a smile? With a hug? With a nod? With a no, shaking of your head? With whatever the need is, and you're doing it in love. And that individual, all those other individuals know that that's a heart of love and an expression of the love of Jesus that you're giving to your fellow Christian. Folks, you cannot find peace outside the church. Oh, what a statement, preacher. It's a factual statement. You can't find it in the good books. You can't find it in the good writings of the secular world. You may have a good book, but if that good book does not have the power of the word of Christ to penetrate your heart, your mind, your spirit, your whole being, then that good book is good for nothing. For unless you are at peace on your inside, on you who lives in here, if you're not at peace with you, you're not going to be at peace with anyone else. It's just not going to happen. A friend of mine asked his wife to lead him to the Lord again. Again. And my statement to her and to anyone else, then do so. But haven't you accepted Christ? If a person has that feeling and that person is as close to death, and the question is asked, will you give to me the plan of salvation again? Do it. Because that next breath could well be their last. You do it. And she did it. You see, people are hurting. Oh, gosh, they hurt. And you've got to be ready to help. And when you hurt with them, there's your sign you're looking for. When their pain becomes your pain, then, my friends, you have the love of Christ in your heart. When it gets that way, then you bend a little, but you always bend in the direction of Christ. And the last and final one, follow Jesus to the finish line. Now listen to me, Christian. Don't try to beat him to the finish line. Your race is not with Jesus. He already won the race, as I've told you many times. But your race that you're in is to make it to the finish line. You are to strive with the power of Christ, for it is He who will strengthen you. It is He that will give you that life that you're walking in life. You're looking down that path. You see the finish line. You can see the finish line. Don't you understand that when you see the finish line, there's something in you. Oh, it's that extra strength. All of a sudden you get excited. You were already out of wind. You didn't feel like you could walk, much less run. But you see the finish line and you're excited. And that energy inside of you grows till you feel like you're Superman, Superwoman, and you're ready. And then, right at that finish line, you see Jesus. Whew. It's sprint time, brother. It's time, because I see Jesus, and a run begins. I am sure that God, listen to me, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished. Now you show me anywhere in this scripture that I've just read to where it was all about you and your strength and your power and your knowledge that has made you who you are. Until it is finally finished on that day. Anytime you see that day in Scripture, it's the day of the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. On that day, when Christ Jesus comes back again, He said, I'm going to continue this until it's over. Now, you know when it's over? When Jesus comes back again. Jesus will be the one that will call a stop to it. It won't be Russia. It won't be China. It won't be the United States of America. It won't be any nation, any army. No. It'll be Jesus, the one who told us to begin with that He's in charge. After all, He did create the world and all that exists. All that exists. And He created me and you to give it to. All of existence is a gift to the one who believes in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the Word of God, and it don't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, dear Lord God, for the blessing, the joy of salvation, the joy of knowing You. Give us wisdom now, Father, to grow in Your love, to grow in Your peace, to grow in Your mercy. Oh, Lord, there's so many who are hurting, so many who are breaking on the inside, and so many dealing with such stress upon their physical being that, Father, they just want to quit. I pray, Father, that it'll be through your power that you will give them that extra touch. Give them the strength, but more than anything, Father, please allow them to feel that expressed love direct from you. Let your will be done in each life. I pray for your protection, Heavenly Father, upon this congregation, upon those who are listening, that your protection will be upon as they travel back and forth, and Father, as they prepare their hearts and minds to speak in your name. I ask that it will be your will that is done, and I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.